ॐ ध्यायामो धवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are learning the 102nd shloka of Aparokshanubhuti. So Shankara spoke about the importance of Nididhyasanam, as why a person has to do Nididhyasanam. And for a person to do Nididhyasanam or accomplish Nididhyasanam, or constantly contemplating on Ishvara, on Brahman, a person has to do various sadhanas. So he gives 15 steps here, each of which successively, when a sadhaka does each of which, follows each of which, then he will end up in Nididhyasanam, thereby in Aparoksha Jnanam, or whatever Shankara has termed as Jnanam, that Jnanam which will remove or negate Ajnanam, and thereby giving a person a paroksha anubhavam, or direct experience of the Atman, blissful Atman, that state wherein a person is complete, purnam. So a person is purnam, he is purnam, means he is perfect in all aspects, complete in all aspects, santosham, content in all aspects, satisfied, and then anandam. That's what Shankara himself summarizes in, or explains beautifully in, Bhajagovindam as Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva. Rejoices, rejoices, and rejoices. Anandam, Anandam, Anandam. So if a person has to gain that Anandam, he has to gain Aparokshanubhavam of the Atman. Aparokshanubhavam is possible when Ajnanam is removed. Ajnanam can be removed only by Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam is possible, is easily possible or accomplished by the various sadhanas. So that's why Shankara is going to explain the 15 sadhanas, 15 steps, which will ensure that a person does Nididhyasanam at all times. As we had already discussed previously, that these sadhanas, it is not essential that a person has to do just these sadhanas. Shankara is just giving few sadhanas. If we follow it as per what he says, so if we follow it properly, then we will attain Brahman. We will gain Nididhyasanam, thereby Aparokshanubhavam of the Atman or Brahman. But it is not essential that we need to do this sadhana alone. In this sadhana, which emphasizes on remembrance of Brahman, Advitiya Brahman, that Brahman which is the substratum of the illusory world. So any sadhana that focuses on all-pervasive God, that Brahman which is present everywhere, that sadhana will help a person in Nididhyasanam. Always following it will, always having that sadhana or doing that sadhana in order to be ever focused on Brahman, that is Nididhyasanam. So Nididhyasanam, for a person to do Nididhyasanam, it is not essential to do It's not that essential that we have to do these sadhanas that Shankara says. Or sadhana chatushtayam as Shankara says. It is good to find out sadhana chatushtayam or any other things like whatever he is going to explain the sadhanas, because it is through these paths or doing these sadhanas that Shankara himself has realized. So realized masters putting forth or showing us the path is easier to follow than any sadhana. Even as Krishna says, if Krishna says that yat karoshi yadashnasi yat juhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurishva madarpanam, yat karoshi, whatever you do, yat karoshi yat ashnasi, ashnasi means eating, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, yajnam you offer, yajjuhoshi, so whatever you offer as offering to the Yajna, Homakunda. Dadasi yad, whatever you give to others. Yat tapasyasi Kaunteya, whatever tapas you do. Tat kurushva madarpanam, do that madarpanam, offering it to me. That is only sadhana that Krishna speaks about. It is the same thing that he says as Brahma Yajnam or Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havihi, Brahma Agno, Brahmana Hutam, Brahma Ivatena Gandhavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. So it's the same thing that he says. So any sadhana, it doesn't matter what sadhana we do, any sadhana that we do with focus on Brahman, on Advitiya Brahman, that will help us. That is Nididhyasanam, that will help us in Aparokshanabhavam. But such a, if Krishna or others say you should do that, then it's not that easy to do. We may feel that it is easy to always think about God than doing particular sadhanas and remembering God. But it may happen that at times when we are in distress, then we will not be able to do that. If we have sadhanas, then it becomes a habit. Even sadhanas are a kind of habit. A person becomes habituated to doing that. So that's the reason why people who are newly into Vedanta or into learning, into the knowledge path, they'll be distracted from other things. They'll be distracted from worldly activities because they are habituated to it. They are attracted to it. It is an addiction like worldly addictions. The advantage of this addiction is, this addiction will lead us to eternal bliss, whereas other addictions will lead us to more and more sorrow. So it's not that easy to remember God while doing all activities. That is, for an advanced person or a realized saint alone can do it. But if we have various sadhanas, if Shastras say that do this, do that and all, remembering God, then it is easy because we become habituated. So we should also remember that the goal to be achieved through these sadhanas that Shankara says is realization of Brahman. So we shouldn't get attached to these sadhanas. Any sadhana is only a path. It is not the means. It is the means. It's not the goal. So it is the path. It is not the goal. So if we want to travel, from New York to New Jersey or New York to Philadelphia, let's say, then we'll catch a train. We'll catch a train and then get down at Philadelphia. We'll not hold on to the train. Even if we have a car, we drive in car, yet once we reach the destination, we don't stick on to the car. We'll get out of the car. Because the car is just the means to the end. And the car is not the end. So it is utter foolishness to consider the path, consider the means as the end. So that's the reason why many people think that, okay, different paths are there. All the paths lead to one thing. The Karma Yoga, Raja Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, everything is the same. And all such foolish statements are only made out of ignorance. Because paths can be many, but the ultimate goal, the means, is only Jnanam. Because all sorrows are due to Ajnanam. Any other path that we follow other than Jnanam will not give us moksha, because it will not negate Ajnanam. It will only add on to Ajnanam. If we want to remove Ajnanam, then we have to have Jnanam. And the Jnanam is the end, it's not the means. So Bhakti or Karma, whatever we do, Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga or Raja Yoga, might be the means, it's not the end. The end is always going to be Jnanam. Even a bhakta finally realizes that everything is but Ishvara alone. He merges into Ishvara and realizes that there is only Ishvara. That is called Atma Nivedanam. So the word Atma Nivedanam, offering oneself. When he offers himself, then he realizes the truth that everything is God. So that is Jnanam. So without Jnanam, the end, we should never mix the end with the means. Then it will lead to a lot of problem. This my path is greater, your path is greater, all such problems will come. Similarly, whatever the sadhana that Shankara is giving here, those are means to the end of Nididhyasanam. If we forget the end, then we'll be lost in the means. We'll just be lost. If we forget that we have to get down at Philadelphia, then we will go on and on. It will never end. We'll not reach our destination. So whenever we are like going, whenever we are following these sadhanas that Shankara is going to tell, we have to remember that these are only the means. The end is nididhyasanam and aparoksha anubhavam. So remembering that, let's start. So Shankara is going to explain or give steps which are similar to the Raja Yoga, the Ashtanga Yoga, or Yama Niyama Asana Pranayama Pratyahara Dharana Dhyana Samadhi. So those are the 8 steps that Raja Yoga or the Patanjali's Yoga Darshanam speaks about. So Shankara is going to give names which are the same as Raja Yoga, but the definitions are completely different. So some people might say, oh, Shankara is supporting Yoga Darshanam. Shankara is accepting Yoga Darshanam, the path of yoga, in order to reach the goal of Brahman. That can never happen, because the path of yoga itself focuses, it's not focusing on the Atman, it is focusing on other things. It's focusing on control of the body, control of the prana and all those things. So it can never lead a person to bliss. And any system which diverts a person from the world without negating the world as an illusion will not lead us to bliss, because the world can never vanish. We have to assert, we have to understand, assert and apprehend in our mind that the world is an illusion. Any system which doesn't speak about the world as an illusion will finally end up in the world. So a person might do Nirbhija Samadhi, which Patanjali speaks about, or Nirvikalpa Samadhi and all types of Samadhis, but he still has to return back to the world. So unless he asserts that the world is an illusion, he will end up in sorrow again. So though Shankara is giving the names of the 15 steps, some steps are the names are the same as the names of the Ashtanga Yogam, the eightfold path of Yoga Darshanam, but the definition or as to how each of them has to be done is quite different. When we learn each of those steps, when Shankara will be defining each of those, we will understand that it is quite different. And I have already said that Dhyanam and Nididhyasanam are not same. The word Dhyanam, by the word Dhyanam, what we mean is Raja Yoga Dhyanam. It is not the same as Vedantic Dhyanam, which is Nididhyasanam. If you are still not clear about it, then you should go to the site vedantatva.org and then read the article on Dhyana and Nididhyasanam, because unless you are clear about it, you will get distracted, you will get confused. So Dhyanam that we do is not the same as Nididhyasanam. So we will see, like, when we get on with the sadhanas that Shankara is telling, we will find and understand that Shankara, the path that Shankara is telling is different from Raja Yoga. So some people also, like in various Advaitic forums, claim that Shankara accepts the path, the Ashtanga or the eightfold path that yoga prescribes, but that is completely wrong, because when we learn each of those names, Yama, Niyama and all, from Shankara's perspective, we will see that those are quite clear, very distinct, and it's very different from Raja Yoga or how Patanjali defines it. We'll try to see in brief Patanjali's definition as well, so that we can be clear. So if somebody comes and tells you that Shankara supported Raja Yoga's Ashtangam, the Eightfold Path, he didn't support the Yoga Darshanam, the basic fundamental philosophies or theories of Yoga Darshanam, yet he supported the Ashtangam because it is a path that will help, that is completely wrong, because the path that Shankara is going to give is in fact different from yoga, whatever Yoga Darshanam says, because these paths that Shankara is going to tell will help us in Nididhyasanam, and Nididhyasanam means focus on Brahman. That means each of these paths will be focusing on Brahman, that Advitiya Brahman who alone exists as the substratum behind the illusory world. So in the next 2 shlokas, 102nd and 103rd shloka, Shankara just gives the names of the 15 paths. sorry, 15 steps or angas. Yamohi niyamas tyago maunam deshashchakalata asanam moolabandhascha deha samyam cha drikstitihi pranasamyamanam chaiva pratyaharascha dharana आत्मध्यानं समाधिश्च प्रोक्तान्यंगानि वैक्रमात्. सो प्रोक्त अन्य प्रोक्तानि अंगानि वैक्रमात्. प्रोक्तानि हैज बीन सेड, अंगानि द वेरियस अंगास, क्रमात् successive steps. So the successive angas, the 15 angas that Shankara spoke about, they are successive. When a person successively follows them one by one, perfects one by one, then when he does the last step, the 15th step, then he will end up with aparoksha anubhavam, because by the time he implements 15 step perfectly, nididhyasanam will be complete. And since Nididhyasanam is complete, it will lead to Aparokshanubhavam or Moksham. So, Kramad, successive steps, he has explained. What are those? First is Yama. Second is Niyama. Third is Tyagaha, Tyagam. Fourth is Maunam. Fifth is Deshaha. Sixth is Kalata or Kalam. Seven is Asanam. Eight is Moolabandham. 9 is Deha Samyam. 10 is Drik Stitihi. 11 is Prana Samyamanam. 12 is Pratyaharam. 13 is Dharana. 14 is Atma Dhyanam. 15 is Samadhi. So, as you see, like 7, other than 7, the Ashtangam, the 8 Angam of Yoga Darshanam, the names are coming here as well. Yama, Niyama. Prana Samyamanam is Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam. Here Shankara gives Atma Dhyanam and Samadhi. But remember, it's good to remember that Yoga Darshanam is completely different from Vedantam. So Shankara's steps are completely or entirely different. Though the basic definition might be same, yet the implementation wise, it is different, quite distinct and different from Yoga Darshanam, because here Shankara is focusing on Brahman. So each of these steps is meant for a sadhaka to focus on Brahman. So remembering that, let's see the first step. So each of these steps, like we will learn each of these steps. So some of these, if you don't understand the English translation, in brief, Yama and Niyama. So as per the Yoga Shastram, Yama and Niyama are supposed to be do's and don'ts. Yama is don'ts and Niyama means don'ts. So do's and don'ts, they are a group of like things called as do's and don'ts. Yeah, so Yama and Niyama are do's and don'ts. So Yama is generally associated with don'ts, things you shouldn't be doing, and Niyama are things, Ni means devoid of don'ts, that means do's, things you have to do. So as per Yoga Shastram, it is supposed to be certain qualities of the mind, certain characteristics or qualities that a person should possess in order to enter into the other steps of asana, pranayama, etc. So, quoting Patanjali's Yoga Darshanam, Yama, we'll come to that, sorry for getting distracted. The translations are Yama is don'ts, so Niyama means do's, Tyagaha means renunciation, we know that. Maunam means maintaining, not speaking. So inactivity, we can say. So it's not inactivity, external inactivity. Maunam is generally associated with keeping mum or not speaking externally. But real maunam, all Mahatmas accept that real maunam is when a person, when his mind is not active. So that when the mind is calm, when the mind is focusing only on a mantra, then it is real maunam. External maunam, a person might not be speaking, but still internally his mind may be diversified into various thoughts. So that is not real maunam. But maunam is keeping mum or silence. Deshaha. Deshaha means space, kalata, time. Asanam. Asanam means a particular posture. Asanam means posture or position. Moolabandham. Moolabandham means controlling the mooladharam or the private parts or activities in the private part. Deha samyam. Deha samyam means basically deha samyam means body being samam. Samam means control of the body. So the body balance, we can say deha samyam. Drikstitihi. Drikstiti means like proper vision or right vision, clear and right vision. Prana samyamanam means control of prana or the vital forces. Pratyaharam. Pratyaharam means withdrawal of sense organs from the sense objects. Dharana. Dharana means concentration, or like we can say dharana is concentration, and then dhyanam. Dhyanam is what we can say meditation, or atma dhyanam here means meditation or contemplation of the atman, and samadhi or absorption. So in the 104th shloka, Shankara speaks about yama. So in short, let's also like compare and contrast with yoga shastram so that it becomes a perfect learning. So as per yoga shastram, yamas are don'ts. So quoting Patanjali in the second chapter, 29th sutra, he speaks about the ashtanga. So he says yama niyama pranayama, yama niyama asana pranayama pratyahara dharana dhyana samadeyo ashtavangani. So these are the eight angas. And in the very next sutra, 30th sutra, he speaks about yama. So ahimsa satya asteya brahmacharya aparigraha yamaha. So yama, as per Patanjali, yama and niyama, they consist of five qualities each. So yama is don'ts. So yama the five qualities that constitute yama is ahimsa. Ahimsa means like we know not hurting people, that means na himsa. So that's why it's called don'ts. Don't do himsa. Satyam. Satyam means don't tell lies. Asteyam. So asteyam means like asteyam means possession or craving. It can be either of those. So do not crave, do not possess. And brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam means do not indulge in sexual pleasures. So that is brahmacharyam. And aparigraham. Aparigraham means non-acceptance. If somebody is giving you some gift, don't accept, because bhadyata, there will be a bhadyata. You will have a burden of returning that back, because as per the world, in the world, law of karma is valid. So if somebody gives you something, then you'll have to return something else. So it's always law of action, like similar to Newton's law of action and reaction. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Even in karma, if somebody gives you something, then it means that you have taken some burden from them. Unless you return something else, you have taken a part of their burden. So that's what it is meant. So this is how Patanjali defines yama. So yama is ahimsa, satya, asteya, brahmacharya, aparigraham. These five are yama. So let's see what Shankara says and whether there is any close resemblance between Shankara's yama and Patanjali's yama. The first similarity is that both have the same word. So Shankara is using the same word because it's already there and people know, so it's easy to remember. That could be one reason. And second reason is It is the same thing, like not doing things. So it may be something to do with not do. So in the 104th shloka, Shankara speaks about Yama. Sarvam brahmeti vijnanat indriya grama samyamah yamoyamiti samprokto abhyasaniyo muhur muhuhu. So sarvam brahmeti vijnanat, sarvam brahma iti vijnanat, with the strong knowledge, vijnanam. Actually vijnanam means visheshajnanam or experience, but here vijnanam means that scientific knowledge. That means what in world, in the world we say any science, we call it vijnanam, because it has been proved, it has been completely proved beyond doubt. So that clear mind, that clear intellect, that clear notion in the mind or intellect, that notion which is beyond doubts, that notion, that sarvam brahma iti vijnanam, the notion that everything is Brahman. And with this vijnanam, vijnanat, by this vijnanam, with the help of this vijnanam, with the help of this notion, this thought, indriya grama samyamaha. Samyamam means controlling, focusing or limiting. So samyamam of what? Indriya grama, control of the sense organs. So the sense organs, the very nature of paranchikani vyatrinat swayambhuhu tasmat param pashyan na antaratman. Katopanishad says that paranchikani, this Ishvara created swayambhuhu. Swayambhuhu, or that person who is born out of himself, that means he is not born at all. That Ishvara created sense organs and they started going out. So it's like telling that I gave birth to my children and they are not looking after me, they are going out. So what would the father do? He'll curse. So similarly, Ishvara is not different from any of the parents that we find in the world. So he cursed them. Vyatranath, he cursed them. As to what? That you will be able to see outside alone. That's why sense organs are always extroverted in nature. And that sense organs we have to control and limit the activities of the sense organs. How can we do that? So Patanjali speaks about that, pratyaharam, withdrawal of sense organs. So Patanjali speaks about withdrawing, forcefully withdrawing the sense organs by closing your eyes, by doing contemplation, by doing meditation, by doing concentration. You can force the sense organs from their sense objects. That is forcing. So here samyamam means limiting. So limiting, how can a person limit? Limiting. We will be affected by the sense objects only when our mind is fixed onto them. So it's not that Vidyaranya makes it clear in Panchadashi that since the external objects of the external world is not the cause of bondage, the cause of bondage is our mental impression of the world. Let's say we accept all the people, the entire people in the world as such. If we accept, then we'll have no issues at all, because everybody is different, everybody is perfect in their own way, so we won't have any problems. But what do? We don't see things as such. We see Aishwarya Rai in TV. The very next moment, we don't see her as such. What do? We have an impression of her. So we say, oh, she's beautiful. So that impression, that mental impression is what causes the ragam. And let's say somebody else is attracted to Sushmita Sen and not Aishwarya Rai, then what would happen? Dvesham comes. So raga and dvesham, attachment and aversion, is not in Aishwarya Rai, but it's in our mind. It's in our mental impression created in the mind, created of Aishwarya Rai, the impression created of Aishwarya Rai. So the external world is not a cause of bondage. It is our inner world, the world that we create in our mind, which causes problem. So external objects, just because a person forcefully restrains or forcefully controls and withdraws sense organs from the sense objects by going into samadhi or going into deep meditation, that will not help, because he'll have to come back. Then how can we get out of the sorrows of the external object or the world? By knowing that everything is Brahman. It's only when we consider Aishwarya Rai, that name and that form, as real, and forget the substratum, underlying reality of Brahman, that we get Ragav Dvesham. Remove the Nama Rupam and know that to be Brahman, then there will be no Ragav Dvesham. That is what Shankara himself explained, Grihyamane Gatepi, in that shloka. In that particular shloka, he spoke about the 67th shloka, he spoke about as to when a person sees objects in the world, internally it will be converted to Brahman. So, Sarvam Brahmeti Vijnana, by the notion in the mind, clear notion in the mind that everything is Brahman, restrain the sense organs. So, sense organs will still go out, they will still be enjoying things, but we'll be controlling them. How are we restraining? Is it restrained like done in Yoga Shastram? No. The restraint that is meant here is, the samyamam that is meant here is, removal of Nama Rupam. So removing Nama Rupam through the notion that everything is Brahman. So if we are intellectually convinced, logically convinced that everything is Brahman, though we may not have experienced it, Aparoksha Anubhavam hasn't happened yet, if we are logically convinced, then we can have the notion. So, sense organs will be controlled. The activities of the sense organs will be controlled, which means that whatever the sense organs see, they'll be converted to Brahman. So, whatever the sense organs see, they'll be negated of Nama Rupam and then merged with Brahman. So, Sarvam Brahmeti Vijnanat, by the notion that everything is Brahman, Indriya Grama Samyamaha, restrain of the sense organs. That means sense organs will not see any differences in the world. Since sense organs won't see any differences in the world, therefore the mind will be always calm. And since we are focusing on Sarvam Brahma, we are focusing on everything is Brahman. Everything is Brahman means Advitiya Brahman and the Jagat is Mithya. Since we are focusing on that, therefore it will help in Nididhyasanam. And this is Yamoyam Yamaha Ayam Iti. Ayam, this is Yamaha Iti, is Yama, Samproktaha, has been said clearly. And Abhyasaniyo Muhur Muhuhu. Muhur Muhuhu, again and again, Abhyasaniyo, a person has to practice. So Yama is, with the knowledge, with the notion that everything is Brahman, restraining the sense organs. So that means whatever the sense organs perceive, wherever the sense organs go, remove the Nama Rupam there and assert it to be Brahman. By the notion, by the internal conviction that Sarvam Brahmamayam. So the foundational statement is Sarvam Brahmamayam. And we have to apply Sarvam Brahmamayam to everything that the sense organs see. How can we apply that? We can apply by removing, negating Nama Rupam. Negating Nama Rupam by telling that Nama Rupam is Mithya and everything is Brahman. So that is Yama. So we have learned Patanjali's Yama, which is Ahimsa, Satya, Asteya, Brahmacharya, Aparigraha. So those are like normal, those are, we can say, particular qualities that will help us in the world. So dharmic qualities, we can say, as per the scriptures, various dharma shastra, it is dharmic qualities, good qualities, we can say. Whereas Shankara's or Vedantic Yama that Shankara speaks about here, it is entirely different, because here it is refraining or restrain of the sense organs. How can we restrain? How is it restrained? It is restrained with the knowledge, with the notion that everything is Brahman. So, with the thought, with the clear, convinced intellectual thought, or knowledge we can. Intellectual thought is knowledge. Vijnanam or experience. Aparokshanubhavam is experience, whereas jnanam. Parokshanubhavam or jnanam is a thought in the mind. The thought that everything is Brahman, the clear, convinced, doubtless thought in the mind. With that thought, controlling the sense organs. And how can we control the sense organs? By removing nama rupam and asserting everything to be Brahman. So this is entirely different from yoga, the whatever Patanjali says, the yama that Patanjali says. So by taking one of the ashtangas, we can clearly rule out those opinion that Shankara supports yoga darshanam. Shankara supports ashtangam because his definition is completely different from yoga darshanam. And this yama, this is one of the steps. So this is the starting step of the 15 steps. So this a person has to do again and again. So maybe until we learn the next shloka or the next step, the next day you can try to practice this. So when a person does all these 15 steps again and again and again and again, then Nididhyasanam automatically happens. That means he'll be ever focused on Brahman, whatever happens in the world. So the ultimate goal is whatever happens, whatever is happening, whatever happens, whatever will happen, still the sadhaka will be ever immersed in Brahman. Even if a person wakes him up while he's sleeping and asks him what is there, he'll say only Brahman is there. Such clear conviction. It's like even Krishna speaks about the yogi's mind. He makes a comparison about the yogi's mind like a lamp which is shining, or a diya or a lamp which is shining, which is glowing in a place where there is no air or vayu. So there is no strong air to burn it off. Such is the conviction in the yogi's mind. So similar would be the case with a sadhaka who has nididhyasanam. Such a person's mind will always be focused on Brahman. Whatever happen, whatever he does, whatever is happening in the world, still his mind will be ever focused on Brahman. With the knowledge that everything is Brahman, there is only Brahman here. Such a person alone will be able to have anandam at all times, because he has gained aparokshanubhavam. If we have to gain aparokshanubhavam, then we have to follow each of these 15 steps again and again, constantly put them into practice until nididhyasanam becomes natural. So we can ask, oh, I have to do all this? Till when do I have to do it? Do I have to keep on doing? So shastras say that a person has to keep on doing all these sadhanas until it becomes natural. So we are trying to force nididhyasanam. We are trying to force nididhyasanam. We are trying to force the thought that everything is Brahman. But once everything is Brahman becomes natural, then he doesn't need to do it. It's like telling that when a person gets up, he automatically goes to the bathroom and then brushes his teeth. Nobody needs to tell him that. Oh, he doesn't need to set an alarm to say that, okay, you need to brush your teeth, or book an appointment like it's common nowadays, because it has become a habit. It is natural for him. So it has to become natural. When these sadhanas, when nididhyasanam, that everything is Brahman, is natural in a person, natural in a sadhaka at all points of time, then he can stop doing this because it has become natural. That's the goal. When it becomes natural, he is a Jivan Mukta, he is a Jnana Nishta. He has gained Jnana Nishta. He is not mere Jnani. He hasn't gained just Paroksha Jnanam. He has gained Aparoksha Jnanam. He is a Vijnani. He is a Jivan Mukta. So that's a fine line between Jnanam and Jivan Mukti. A Jnani is a person who has gained Paroksha Jnanam. He has an experienced Atman. Whereas a person who is immersed in Jnanam, Jnana Nishta, a person who is ever immersed in Jnanam, such a person is a Jivan Mukta. He is ever blissful. It is natural for him. So in order for us to become jnanis, we jnanis as well as jivan muktas, finally jivan muktas. So the moment we learn this, the moment, let's say in a day, in 24 hours, we are able to remember for 15-16 hours that Brahman alone is there, then we are jnanis. And when we are not forcing that knowledge, when it becomes natural and stays throughout the entire day, then we become jivan muktas. So if we are able to remember this knowledge for 16 hours, then we are jnanis. That would give us at least some amount of bliss of the Atman. But when we practice it and it becomes natural, then we become jivan muktas. Then ananda will be always there. It will be part of our life. It will be a part of each and every moment of our life. We'll continue with the next anga that Shankara says in the next day. Hari Om.